Well, I guess there was some inevitability to it that Southwest Airlines would go the way of the other airlines. But for over 50 years, one of the things that they could point to with great pride was that bags fly free. Well, most of the bags are not going to fly for free anymore, but it's probably going to bring them another couple of billion dollars in revenue or so. Scott McCartney is the retired middle seat columnist that you remember for the Wall Street Journal. He's covered aviation for about 30 years and still keeps up with it a lot, and he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, David.
Thank you. I guess this is sort of coming full circle. You know, when we first started following Southwest Airlines, there was this major point of difference, sort of cheap and frequent flights and no frills and no fees. And
sure.
Now, have they just become like any other airline?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's very little you can point to and say that's unique. And so they're very much like any other airline. And it's driven by Wall Street, driven by private equity firm Elliott Management that invested, bought 10% of Southwest in June. And all the changes that we've seen have all been driven by Elliott and really kind of inevitable.
You know, the disadvantage, though, that they have, I think, is sort of like, I mean, early on, they had an advantage over other carriers. They had, you know, one kind of fleet and it was fuel efficient and, you know, they had, you could operate cheap and they were a product of deregulation and everything else. And now it seems like they're at a disadvantage because if you're going to be competing, you know, you have to set up priority seating. You don't have any lounges for the business people to linger in. And they've got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I think post-pandemic, the traveler's willingness, the traveler's desire to pay for something premium, whether it's extra legroom, a first-class upgrade, lounge access, things like that, that's really grown. And Delta has ridden that wave. United's ridden that wave. American is catching up, too. And we've also seen post-pandemic, other airlines have really benefited by international route networks. And Southwest doesn't have that, certainly not transatlantic or transpacific. They're not achieving what other airlines are with their loyalty program.
But on more of a macro sense, I mean, they're all single aisle airplanes and they're flying them to Hawaii. And it's going to be hard to squeeze in any steep reclining seats in there to attract the business traveler. They're going to have to get some new equipment too, aren't they?
Well, not yet, not for a while. The new layout is going to be interesting. 40% of the cabin will be extra legroom seats, and that's a reflection on expectation that business travelers will want to pay for the extra legroom seats. Their elite level frequent flyers will want those seats. But regular travelers, people going on vacation to Vegas or wherever, they're going to want extra legroom seats as well. So 40% of the airplane is a lot. And that should, they hope, drive significant revenue.
You know, one of the other things, one of the advantages they had, they fought like heck to keep at Love Field, but it's a close-in airport. They've got a close-in airport, you know, reopening Hobby in Houston, Midway. You know, they sort of resurrected Midway in Chicago. And they offer these alternative sites, some on the West Coast, too. Is that still an advantage for them?
You know, that has changed so much. I mean, you and I, you know, when we knew Herb, we'd think Southwest would never fly to New York LaGuardia, but they do, right? And big operation at a lot of big airports. So it has worked some for them. They got to go where the people are. And I think they have, they're in so many cities that there aren't a whole lot of major markets left to tap. When your next biggest city is, I don't know, Madison, Wisconsin or something, All of a sudden, the big airports look more attractive. It's a very different airline at the size that it is, 4,000 flights a day, the largest domestic airline. And so we've seen even, JetBlue going transatlantic and things like that. Southwest has certainly gone to and it's been interesting to see what they've done in Hawaii, interesting to see what they're doing with Caribbean destinations and things like that. But I think, they still need to, they want to be, stay number one in Austin, and Delta's coming hard in Austin. They want to stay number one in places like San Diego and other California cities. And so where do people in San Diego want to go? They want to go to the big cities. That's what they got to serve.
So you bring up the what I was going to ask, which is the point of difference for them. I mean, their fortress hubs around the country, and American certainly dominates DFW, and Delta dominates in Atlanta. And so you've got that advantage, that sort of built-in advantage, that point of difference, if you will. Some airlines have marketed, extravagant seating or lighting or whatever as a point of difference. Is there a point of difference for Southwest Airlines now?
I think it's going to be harder to maintain. There is a point of difference with the Southwest people, with the ethos of let's have a little fun on the airplane and things like that. But that's not going to drive ticket sales alone. What people still look for is price and schedule. And that's been the biggest problem. Essentially, bags never flew free. You paid for baggage service. It was bundled into your ticket price. And so other airlines are able to sell tickets cheaper and then hit you with the bag fee at the airport. None of us like it, but that's the way the industry has gone. And that's the bind they found themselves in. I think, Southwest itself, and Gary Kelly always said, and Bob Jordan, that they got more travelers coming their way to avoid the baggage fees that other airlines were driving. We're going to see if that's true. The Elliott management directors don't think that's true, and it'll be a net positive. If it turns out to be a net negative, Houston, we got a big problem.
Well, and ultimately, of course, we've learned in the airline industry what you really need is a good economy. And we've seen some warnings that the first quarter is not shaping up like a lot of the industry thought. And first quarter has never been a barn burner anyway. But if that carries through the rest of the year, then it's going to be tough, not just for Southwest, but I would think for the rest of the industry, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, too, it'll be interesting to see if this whole premium purchase strategy holds up if we do end up with a very soft economy. Are people going to keep buying extra legroom seats and upgrades and things like that? I think a lot of airlines could find that a soft economy is really going to upset their strategy.
Yeah, I think it was Kelleher who always said, if you want to make a fortune in the airline industry, start out with a large fortune.
Yeah.
Because it'll dwindle. Scott McCartney is our friend for the Wall Street Journal and Dallas site and has kept up with the airlines for many, many decades. Always good to spend some time with you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.